I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking. And this podcast episode is brought to you by Reliable Income, led by Adam Hudson. Reliable Income is an Amazon community and course, and Adam Hudson is an Amazon seller. He's doing well over seven figures a year now, and also a very straightforward Australian. And in a sea of hypey Americans, that is quite a refreshing change. Adam will tell you it straight when it comes to how much money you need to private label, which is measured in the thousands of dollars these days, not the hundreds, and how long it takes to really get a private label product off the ground when you're working alongside the day job, which again is measured in months rather than weeks. Now, alongside that, Adam, however, is a very, very positive guy, and he has a lot to offer in terms of getting a really great positioning on Amazon for your products. So high quality products, selling at a really good price and keeping the competition at bay, which it's never been a smarter time to adopt that strategy than in 2018 when Me Too or Cheap are just going to be trashed by the Amazon crowd or have their price disappear into the floor overnight. So I really, really think his approach is sustainable. Hence, I think that Reliable Income is a very good word for his type of training. If you want to find out more about Adam, as I said, amazingfba.com/Adam. If you want to find out more about his training and or take the four-part video training course, which is free, go to amazingfba.com/reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E. Just for more transparency, I am an affiliate of that, so that will buy more than a coffee, as is the traditional about affiliate sales, but what it will do is help cover some of the costs of running the podcast, which hopefully benefits you, some of the software that I have to use to keep in touch with the guests, and my beloved and long-suffering editor Daniel, who is worth his weight in gold, but I have got to pay him, because even editors have to eat as well, so I've got to pay for blogging, podcast hosting, the rest of it. So that helps to cover some of my costs there, and I hope you'll check that out. Now on with the show. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm talking with Reid Mensah of Amazo, if I get this right, Amazo Software Company. He's been talking about, in the previous episode, the whole issue of how to choose a product or to choose a market niche to go into. And in this episode, we're going to really look at the sort of related things that we've already touched on, which is off Amazon marketing, and not just marketing in terms of selling products, but also checking where a market is at, you know, where what the realities are of a market outside of Amazon. So that includes social media and email marketing. So let's start off where we left it last time, Reid, which is the whole question of how social media fits in with Amazon marketing. First of all, just tell us a bit more about how you would use that as a tool for checking that you're on the right tracks with your product selection in the first place.
Sure. So you'll find once you start getting off of Amazon that a lot of times there will be big players in the marketplace that just haven't gone on to Amazon yet. You know, they have a good thing going where they're selling retail, they're selling wholesale, and Amazon is just a small market. But these players, if they ever chose to come onto Amazon, they blow you out of the water. And honestly, there's nothing you could do. And you really have to see and find these types of companies and look up. Sometimes even a simple Google search will show you who these people are. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just type in a keyword, the five main keywords we think would be good, and we'll see who's ranking where just on Google. Now, of course, we have tools to do that make it quite a bit easier for us, and they give us things on, let's say, Facebook. If we're searching on Facebook, it'll tell us how many people are socially clicking on a type of article, or maybe this one has a whole bunch of likes on it. This post that your competitors put on, they have a whole bunch of likes, but no one's talking about it. And that's a big point too, is that we always like to choose products that people are engaged in, that they're talking, they're commenting about it. If you find posts where everyone's just liking it, but they're not really wanting to talk about it, then maybe that's something that's a little bit generic and they've already solved the problem. You know, no one actually needs to answer the problem that you're trying to solve because it's already been done. And that's sort of a broad overreaching look at how that happens. But if you don't know that, you're not going to find that out on Amazon. So a lot of times doing your research off of Amazon just to find those triggers that'll tell you if it's a good product or not is beneficial.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, in a world that's been dominated by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 modules and you're rich, and then, you know, the Amazon courses and on the other hand, software, which is all about the numbers that are magically going to solve your business problems, that a bit of common sense and a wider view of things will quickly sort out, you know, whether there's actually an inherent danger or just, as you say, just even worse in a way, not so much the danger of a competitor coming in, which is bad, but nobody actually cares, which is worse. It's the crickets phenomenon, right? So tell us a bit more about this software that you use to do that. So is that sort of speed up the process of assessing a market, or is it more a tool that you use for social media marketing once you've have got a successful product?
No, well, it's a little bit of both. It's called AZ Socializer, and what it does is it posts for you. So it's sort of like Meet Edgar or any of those other softwares out there that you can post, you can pre-post out posts to your groups and stuff like that. And that's once you get a product in, you're going to want to take a look at doing that and really getting the message you have to tell them in front of people's eyes. Once you move away from that and you get into the research side of things, you want to dig into the data involved in this sort of stuff. You also want to search, you know, on places like Google, YouTube. You can bring in your own sort of labels that you want to check in RSS feeds to see what people are saying, especially the RSS feeds, because if you can find a feed of that's in the area, you'll be getting up-to-date information constantly. And we look at those RSS feeds all the time. It sounds like it's so old hat. It's so 2005 an RSS feed, but we find it very beneficial because it's constantly giving us data. Another thing we'll do is we'll find Facebook groups with the people that we think we want to sell to in them, and we'll post things. So we'll post an article that's interesting. We'll see, are people talking about it? Does someone actually want to come in and have a conversation about this thing? You know, it's not an article we wrote. It's just something we pulled off of the internet that we thought was, informational and a talking point. And we'll post it to these different groups and see what sort of engagement we can get. And this is all done pre even looking at the manufacturer at that point in time. You really want to have your ducks in a row. And this is where operating procedures really work well, because you can have other people do it. You don't have to do it yourself. And sometimes, you know, other people are better at it than you are, but it's just hard to teach them. So I would say that you want to get your processes straight, and you want to make sure that what's happening in the wider world that may have an impact on your Amazon business should be taken into account, especially negative things.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And the thing is, again, it's the voice of common sense. And funny you should mention RSS feeds. I mean, another thing that to me, you know, I'm not particularly social media savvy as a sort of personal user, never mind in any sort of business context, but you know, Reddit, for example, has been around for years, and my business partners often will sort of dig around on Reddit and we'll come up with stuff that sounds kind of prophetic, just because the nerds on Reddit have been seeing stuff coming that doesn't even hit, if you like, mainstream social media or even the Amazon sort of bubble of the Amazon echo chamber, as Will Chernin calls it, of things like this podcast, until it's kind of almost hit the mainstream media sometimes. And actually, yeah, you're right. Just tapping into the right social channels. And again, the message I'm getting from you is to do a lot of your groundwork before you even begin to think about selling, so that when you've done the selling, in a way, if you know the social places where people show interest, it's kind of obvious where you're going to go to market it once you've got the thing made, right? It's all integrated. Your research and then your marketing are kind of two sides of the same coin, which again, I cannot say enough about how vital I found that and for my clients who do and those who do not succeed. So tell me a bit more, once you've ordered the product and you've got something to sell now, how would you use the sort of social media side of things in your marketing of things?
Okay. Well, first thing, you want to set up a simple one-page website. The website isn't actually to sell anything. The website is there so you can put a pixel on it, and you can get put on a Google tag or a Facebook pixel. These different things that you can direct people through and collect their contacts. It'd be nice if you could get their email and stuff like that. And I'm sure we're going to go into that a little bit more later on here, but you want to be able to remarket to these people. And if you decide that you want to do Instagram ads or Facebook ads, then you win. But the thing is, how do you get those people in? Well, here's how you do it. You've already been talking to your client base as a person. You're not in there as a company, but you've been engaging these people and sort of ingratiating yourself into their circle. And you're not going to be here, buy my stuff. You got to be subtle about this stuff. But that's how you can bring these people into your arc, so that from the day it gets into Amazon, you already have a market to sell to. And you can do that over a month and a half. By the time it gets there, you've talked to, maybe 100 people that are really interested, and they'll buy your product, and you can get that initial boost, and you already have social proof.
Yeah, really good. It makes a lot of sense. And again, it's a question of, it strikes me always, like, it's always about the people and what their problem is or what their passion is, depending on, what's driving them. But in a lot of cases, it's a pain, right? If you can find a group of people and they have an identified interest or passion together, then you start off by knowing what thing your product would do in the first place if you were to sell it. And then once you've got something to sell, it should be a simple matter of going back and saying, hey, that pain you had, here's a possible solution, I guess. So
yeah,
makes so much sense. And, I can say from a bit of experience of running a podcast that, the whole idea of having conversations with people, bringing them into your arc, and eventually a certain percentage of people will buy something, and then some people will buy more stuff. That is a reality that I've experienced. So to link that with Amazon makes total sense, because I've done Amazon, I've done this, but I haven't really made the link yet. So you're obviously being smarter than I am, and that's where I need to go in 2018. And I think a lot of people who are following the podcast will probably be wise to do that as well. So you've touched already on email marketing. Now, again, that's a very sort of even 1990s technology, right? Email. but how does email marketing fit in for you to the whole picture of primarily an Amazon-based business?
Well, it's not dead, I can tell you that much. You'll hear, Amazon or email's dead. It's not dead. We do a lot of business through email. And once again, we have our own email software company. But how we get into the actual crux of it is we try and bring people to that one page. You can call it a squeeze page or a lead page, and you have to give away value. How do you give away value? Maybe in those groups that you were just talking to on Facebook or Twitter. Twitter's, I think a lot of people think that Twitter's dead, but I just find that platform fascinating when it comes to marketing, because almost no one's doing it. That's the thing. Everyone wants their 140 words, and they actually doubled that recently, so you can say so much more. But what you want to do is give value and maybe talk to those people in those groups that you found and say, hey, do you want a 50% off coupon? Come on in, and that's where you land them. Get their email. After you've got their email, you can send out sporadic once a month. Don't slam these people with emails, especially off the get-go. Just remind them you're there. But if you have a launch of a new product, that's when you give them an email every day for a week. And you want to structure those emails so that they seem like they're valuable as well. Don't go in there and just sell to people. It's important, because people are smart in this age. They know when they're being sold to, and they don't want to be sold to. And it's important to them to feel that you are being personal to them. So it's pretty important. So bring them into your squeeze page, landing page, by adding value and try and get those emails. Emails are gold. They absolutely are. But there's ways on Amazon too that you can get their emails too, right? You can append your customer list to drag out emails from them, and you can add to that list and always be there, you know, once a month, even if it's once every 2 weeks, send out something, give them a little value that you know they're interested about, and they're always going to remember you.
Yeah. And what sort of, can you give us an example of the sort of value that you would offer somebody, say in your squeeze page or your one page, you know, one web page site?
Sure. A checklist, 10 best things. Those are the best things to put on, you know, a checklist or the best, the 10 best, the 5 best. And you see it on YouTube, you see it all over the place. And the reason why it's good to use is because people like it. They like short chunks of stuff that they can really gloss over but remember. So, you know, bold and then number one, bold, and then tell them how it solves their pain point. Number two, bold, tell them how it solves that pain point. And spend some time trying to figure that out, because that's their first view of your company. That's the face of your company, is what you do after they give you that email.
Excellent. It's funny you should say that, because for my listeners and viewers on Amazing FBA, I've just been putting together a cheat sheet this morning. It's a bit more detailed than that, and I've got to think about what you're saying is a great reminder. Just keep it short and simple. But I've found that giving away that sort of stuff in information type marketing for Amazing FBA has been very effective. Not something I've really tried for my Amazon products. And like I said, like funnily enough, I think I've got two sides of you know, I need to put the two things together a bit more. It's very interesting having this conversation, but I can certainly say that that is effective in Amazing FBA with products. Not something I've tried, but it's obvious that you've had a good solid go at that. And that sounds like a very important extra channel to put in. And what I can also say from what you're saying is that emails really are a very powerful connection. I mean, I think I'm probably not tracking and measuring well enough, but for that, I do track and measure. I think that email marketing is probably still responsible for most of the turnover that I do, modest as it is with Amazing FBA. And on Amazon, I've been lazy and left it to Amazon to do the marketing. So I guess, again, 2018 is the year where email marketing needs to come back in, right?
Absolutely. And the beauty of email marketing is it's cheap like borscht. You know, buy some. It is a very inexpensive way to market your brand compared to Facebook advertising or even sponsored advertising on Amazon. It's quite inexpensive.
Thank you. Well, that's a brilliant reminder about the sheer power of email marketing. That's one thing that hasn't gone away over the last two decades of the internet.
Yeah. Lucky us. Yeah, for sure. Let's see what else. You know, some of the things that I could say about email marketing is that, as we touched on before, you want to make it short. Don't put photos in. Maybe sometimes an infographic is a good way, but you want to be as direct as possible. You want those people to click on what you want them to click on, so you don't want to put that at the bottom. Have it at the top and at the bottom. Then give them the short blurb about what pain point you're solving, or a lot of times ask them a question. Hey, what do you think about this? And what is your pain point? And a lot of times you'll find that people will click that button just so that they can, well, complain about something. We live in a complainer's world. Every Amazon seller knows that. So, you know, a lot of times that's a good technique to get engagement as well. It always engage, engage, engage. You want those people coming back to you and giving you a defined reason to re-engage them.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's some amazingly powerful tips on email marketing. So I think that wraps up what we got to say about that. And so some very, very good tips there from Reid Mensah of Amazo Software Company. And that's really powerful stuff. Thank you, Reid.
Thank you, Michael. I love this conversation. I could talk about it forever, but there's time limits.